Hey guys, welcome to our show. This is the first episode. We are so, let me tell you, Colin and I are so freaking excited to have you join us in this discussion. And in this episode, we kind of want to clear the air. We want to start, introduce ourselves, introduce the topic that we're talking about, and hopefully that will garner some interest. If not, if you're not interested, pass it along to a friend who might be interested. So as I mentioned, Colin Turpin and I are going to be your host of this show, and we'd like to start by reading our mission statement.
Yeah, so as you guys probably have noticed from the title, this is going to be a podcast series about science and religion. We're going to be engaging in a friendly discussion, talking about several different kind of cross points, intersections between these different viewpoints. And so why are we doing this? Let's talk about our mission statement.
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked, Colin.
So we are discussing, our goal is to discuss the current social, scientific, and cultural topics today from a scientific empirical view alongside a Judeo-Christian view. Not in order that one would triumph over the other, but rather that we might find and look at certain things that science and Christianity would be in agreement than I think people might think they are.
Absolutely. And I think this is a really, really important topic for our day and age. Science and rational thinking is just, man, it's huge. And it's really the prevalent, one of the prevalent mindsets of our generation.
Absolutely.
Can it be proved by fact? Then it is true.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about that in some episodes, but that's kind of the impetus behind why we want to get together and talk about these things. And so with that kind of mission statement out there, Colin and I, we want to kind of introduce ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Who we are, why we're even qualified.
Yeah.
Are we even qualified?
Are we?
I don't know. So Colin, why don't you
okay,
go first?
Okay, yeah, I'll go first. Okay.
Yeah, I love that.
So my name is Colin Turpin. I have been raised in Oklahoma, central Oklahoma area my entire life. I'm currently a student at the University of Central Oklahoma. I'm studying I'm studying psychology, eventually going into counseling psychology. And so I have been exposed to we have a very rigorous empirical scientific program here. And so I've gotten plenty of the scientific method training, as well as I grew up inside the church. I go to Henderson Hills Baptist Church, and I've received much religious education as well. And so I think I'm coming with a perspective of being able to address many of these topics from both sides as fairly as mm-hmm. as one could be.
Yeah. Well, and I think what makes our positions unique is that the truth is we're really not special in any means.
Right.
And that's the idea is that we want to talk to people who are like us,
yeah.
who are ordinary people, who are hearing these things on the news or in the classroom and are really grappling with this idea of, man, do I really have to choose one or the other?
Yeah.
Is it science or faith? And I mean, the truth is, Colin and I we both had very similar experiences, like I imagine many of our listeners who grew up in the church. They've been to college, been in a high school that is very focused on empirical data.
Right.
And so that's why I think Colin is qualified, and you'll hear from me
yeah,
in a little bit.
Let's talk about you.
Hopefully I'm qualified. I'm kind of getting
What is your deal?
So my deal, I too, like Colin, I grew up in Yukon, Oklahoma, West OKC. Pretty much all my life, I went to a private Christian school where, let me tell you, the theological doctrine was hammered home quite finely. And that's not to bash my high school, but it's just that's what they were about. And I'm super thankful that I grew up in that environment, for sure. So I went to this private high school growing up. I was super involved in church, super involved in those activities. So again, like Colin, that's the environment I grew up in. And so let's see here. I'm in my fourth year of college. I've got one more semester. Super excited about that. And I participated in the honors program at Oklahoma Christian. And the unique thing about the honors program is that they really, I'm going to say the word attack, but that's not the appropriate word. They attack the way you think about things. And they really cause you to think critically. I mean, that's, if there's anything I've learned from the honors program, it's that I can think critically now. I can read two separate arguments and think critically and determine which one's best. So along with that, I've taken multiple classes on science, faith, the intersection of those things, and how you deal with that. And so in that sense, I've had a little a decent amount of perspective in that area. And so again, hopefully that gives us a unique voice to you, the listener, a unique perspective. But again, the purpose behind why Colin and I are quote unquote qualified is that we are like you. We are normal people dealing with these problems. And that's, I mean, would you agree with that?
No, wait, hold on. So we are two Christians, two theists,
yeah,
talking about these views. So is this podcast just for Christians to listen to?
Yes.
Who should be listening to this?
Everyone. Well, why don't you answer that question? Because you obviously asked it with a...
It was a weighted question.
It was a weighted question.
So our hope, our desire is that everyone listening to this will take something away.
Right.
And so while at times, we're going to go over our schedule here in a little bit, but at times we may put in our opinions, our thoughts on things.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're going to be more on the theistic side, but that's okay to disagree with it. It's all right. This is like we said earlier, this is a friendly place for you to take things and wrestle with it and say, you know, maybe even if it's just like, I never thought that Christians believe this, or I really disagree with that. That's okay. That's all right to have. We would hope would really be a fun and learning experience for anyone who listens to it.
For sure. Thanks for catching me on that. So, like you said, we're going to kind of outline what this podcast series is going to look like, and then we're going to get into a little bit of conversation, and then we'll wrap it up. So, I think you have the list there. Why don't you go ahead and cover that?
Okay, yeah. So we are kind of breaking this podcast up into three chunks, three phases.
It's like a sandwich.
Hopefully it will be about 9 weeks long. And so we're going to start out here kind of the first few weeks. It's just kind of introduction, setting the stage. Part of the reason why this topic in particular is so difficult is because no one is clear on or consistent with what they talk about. Even the word science and religion means entirely different things to different people.
So terms, definitions,
right? Yes.
Setting the stage.
So these first few weeks, we're gonna lay some ground rules. We're gonna talk about a few things, and then once we've done that, we're gonna transition. We'll be very clear when we do this into more specific intersections between science and faith.
Mm-hmm.
So things, evolution,
origin
of the universe, sexuality, stuff like this. Some stuff that we're talking about in our society today.
Absolutely.
We're going to hit the hard stuff.
Come on.
So come with us and wrestle with us. And then finally, so after those middle weeks, we're going to take a step back, look at more, the philosophy side of things. Some things that Seth is probably more qualified to talk about than I am. And we will hit topics, the classic questions. Is life inherently valuable? Why is there evil in the world? Things like that. So stay tuned. It's going to be really exciting.
If you heard something that you're like, they're going to talk about that? I'd love to hear that. Then stick around and hopefully we'll get to it. And we're not necessarily limiting ourselves to these topics, but these are definitely ones that we are going to cover.
Yeah.
If we have time, we'll talk about more, but, you know, time is definitely the issue. I think I was going to say something about the philosophy subjects. I can't remember. Anyways.
All right.
We've kind of done introduction. Let's get into some conversation. So this podcast, Science and Religion Podcast, I think it's not only proper, but I would say it's necessary to do a historical review. Not necessarily a historical review, but let's talk about the way that science and religion have interacted in the past.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
And some good ways, some bad ways, and maybe just in general, how do science and religion interact? And so I'll kind of start off and we'll kind of go back and forth here. But the famous scholar of science and religion, who I think I was reading this earlier, he came on the scene in the 1980s. His name's Ian Barber. He is the, what's the word? He's the foremost, is that, or he's the guy that knows about science.
He's the guy.
I've heard this acronym before. He's the DTK. He's a dude that knows.
Dude that knows. He's a DTK. I like that.
On science and religion. And he's proposed four different models for the ways that science and religion interact that have become pretty much the standard. They've become the base for conversations between science and religion. So we're going to talk about each of those models in brief, maybe give some examples and our own thoughts.
And before we jump into this, keep in mind that science and religion, at their core, are searching for truth.
Absolutely.
So this is simply how people answer the question, how do we find truth? Do we look at it through religious texts, mm-hmm. through more faith-based approaches? Do we stick to scientific approaches?
Right. So yeah, that's a good point, and I tend to forget things. So thanks for bringing that up.
Of course,
The idea is science and religion are searching for truth, and in that search for truth, how do they interact?
Right. Yes.
So, big model number one. I'll cover the first two, and you can cover the second two.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. We'll and we can. the first way that science and religion interact in their search for truth, according to Ian Barber, is that there is conflict.
Ooh.
Yes, conflict. And I think this is the most, I mean, this is the one that most people see and the one that most people go, mm-hmm, yep, I see that. And, I mean, going back all the way in our history, not all the way, but with Galileo in the church when he was proposing some radical ideas about where we were in the universe, and the church really shut him down on that. That's the classic example that people point to and say, look, Galileo was proposing this new way to look at where we were. The church was saying, no, this is how it's supposed to be. And there was a conflict and tension there that wasn't, it wasn't until recently that like the church
issued, only the last few years
issued an official apology. I'm going to look this up real quick. I'll look it up when you're talking and maybe we'll get back to it. But I think that's the standard model that people see today and operate when they hear about science and religion. So an example from today's culture of how science and religion interact is the fiery Richard Dawkins. If you're not familiar with Richard Dawkins, he is an atheist to the extreme. He is absolutely opposed to all forms of religion. He's written his famous book. He's got a lot of books, but his more famous book is The God Delusion. So he's a man who's wholly against.
Would you say he's a DTK about atheism?
I would certainly say so. He's a DTK. Maybe. Yeah. So you've got, for example, Richard Dawkins on one side, and then on the other side you have some of you might be familiar with him. His name's Ken Ham. He is a biblical creationist, intelligent design, firmly believes that the earth was created in 6 days, biblical literalist. Both Dawkins and Ken Ham are looking at, take for example, the origin of the earth, which we're going to get to.
Stay tuned.
So they're both looking at this origin, the origin of the earth, and they're talking different stories.
Right.
They're proposing completely different stories. And so there you have conflict. And that's the first, again, that's the first model, and I think that's the most common for today. Model two, this one's a little more confusing than model one. It's this idea that science and religion are independent of each other in their search for truth.
Right.
In their search for truth.
Right.
So a lot of people would say, according to this model, that science, when it's searching for truth, when it's seeking out truth, has a specific realm with which it can discover truth. Religion, when it is searching out truth and seeking to discover truth, has its own realm, and there is no overlap between the realms. What science says on truth can neither be substantiated or disproved according to religion, and vice versa. A famous proponent of this model, Stephen Jay Gould, he was probably one of the most eminent paleontologists of the, 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
He died 2002, I believe, but he has a great quote. I'm going to read it to you real briefly and explain it. It'll pop over to Colin and he can cover the last two. So Stephen Jay Gould says, each subject, science and religion, has a legitimate, and he uses this word, it basically means realm, a legitimate magisterium or domain of teaching authority. And these magisteria do not overlap. The net of science covers the empirical universe, what it is made of, fact, and why does it work this way, theory. The net of religion extends over questions of moral meaning and value. These two magisteria or realms do not overlap, nor do they encompass all inquiry. And so that's kind of model two, this idea that in the search for truth and the search for understanding why we're here, how things got here, science and religion do not talk about the same thing. They're both searching for truth, but they don't have a right to interfere in each other's territory. So Colin.
Yeah, great.
I'm going to look up when the church officially
offered
that.
Okay, please do.
I think this is hilarious.
All right, so next. So we have our first two stages that Seth mentioned, conflict, independence. And next, the third stage is dialogue. So this basically means that science and religion are conversation partners at the intersection. So there's things that both can talk about, both can learn from each other, both can engage in. Now, this sounds really nice, but it turns out it's a lot harder to implement that. And we're going to get that once we get into specific things, be like, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, we talk about things. But in reality, there's a lot of really tough spots to make this theory work. And so a famous person in history we can point to is the Albert Einstein.
Man
who was quoted saying, science without religion is lame, but religion without science is blind. So each of them add to the other. Science gets more meaning, more moral stuff comes into that. Religion gets more founding in what we see and observe in real life. And so they both will help each other out,
right?
But once again, we're going to talk about some of the specifics of how we can dialogue. It's also hard. This one is hard because it takes a mutual respect of each other. And that respect sometimes isn't around.
Absolutely.
You have to understand where they're coming from and empathize with people who don't agree with you in order to have a dialogue at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's model three. And then the final model, this may be the trickiest one, is called integration. So back up, think about we're searching for truth. We're looking for what is true. How are we looking for it? This integration model asserts that they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Science and religion are ultimately talking about the same thing. And once again, it gets really messy. You almost have to look at the specific realms of intersection to find out how they might be integrated together. And I'm sure there's lots of different opinions on how that works, and I'm sure lots of many counter arguments to those. These are kind of the four models, all the way from one end, conflict, To the middle, you have independence, then dialogue, and then finally integration. Mm-hmm. So you, listener, think about where do your biases place you? Where do you sit on this right now, into this podcast?
Where do you sit, Colin?
That's a great question.
I think I have an idea.
Up until about a few years ago, I would have put myself at an independence viewpoint. Okay. That essentially science is science, religion is philosophy. They don't interact. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, as you learn more about science, you realize it's creeping closer and closer to that line. And there's a few areas where it crosses over. And so it's really hard for me to justify saying, well, they're really talking about separate things, because there are some things that they are talking about together. Yeah. So I like to think of myself in the dialogue. There's still a lot of stages that a lot of these intersections that I'm having to think through, having to work through. We're going to talk about it later. And so I think there's definitely things that both theists and non-theists can learn from each other. Like we said earlier in the introduction, I get it from both sides every day. I get it from the church saying, nope, science conflicts with us, reject science. We don't need science. I hear it from the empirical side of things saying, religion is starting all these wars. Religion is brainwashing people. We don't need religion. And yeah. So I don't like either of those. And so I'd like to think that there is a dialogue that could happen.
Yeah. Well, funny you fall under that model, because that's where I fall too.
Oh, shocker.
I know, right? I definitely think that science and religion overlap. There is overlap in their search for understanding the way the world is. I think I'll leave it there. I could probably go off on a lot of tangents there.
Did you find the church?
The date. This is great. So after 350 years,
oh my gosh,
the Vatican finally says that Galileo was right. So this was in 1992.
Oh, man.
In 1992, the church finally realized that they were wrong and issued a formal apology. I just think that's hilarious.
That's pretty funny. Imagine someone not agreeing with you until, 350 years after you're dead. That's a little bit silly.
At least history has finally recorded it.
There it is.
Well, I tell you what, that was pretty much all we have for today. We'd like to wrap up with maybe some more discussion on why we think this conversation that we're having is important, and maybe why we hope that you are listening and maybe how you're listening and how we want you to listen. Hmm. So I'll kind of speak from personal experience. I think this, not just science and religion and their intersection, but this idea of thinking deeply is really important to me personally. I think in an age where social media is just taking over... Excuse me. That's my good friend Derek Seymour giving me a call. So I think in this age where social media is really just taking over... social media is not bad, but if you let it begin to take over the way you think about things, what that produces is shallow thinkers. And that just gets me fired up. I don't want, and it's funny because I find myself on Facebook all the time. So I just let me get that out there.
Here we go.
A little confession. But I think it's so valuable to sit down and think deeply on a matter, to take both sides of a discussion, see the arguments and evidences for both sides, and see them, evaluate them, and come to your own conclusion. I think there's so much value in that. And so a personal example, I had to write this paper this past semester on whether pharmaceutical companies have or have not the responsibility to provide life-saving drugs to those who can't afford them. And it was so interesting to see my own view on the matter oscillate as I was writing the paper. It would go from one day I'd read this one article and I'd go, ah, they've got it right. And then the next day I'd find another article and go, oh, no, they've got it right. And I'd just sit and ping back and forth between these two views. Eventually I settled out, but there's so much value in again, seeing both sides and deciding for yourself which has the better arguments. And I think that's kind of what we're going to do. There's a lot of things we're trying to do with this podcast, but we would like to present both sides in a way that produces a little, perhaps, cognitive dissonance.
There you go.
There's a psychology term.
He's getting it.
That's right. It produces a little bit of...
uncomfortability.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want to leave you with kind of a... I'm sitting here like... I can't find the like, right...
Can't sit still in your
chair.
Can't
sit still in my chair. Feeling. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's, again, that's kind of why, at least why I'm getting involved in this podcast.
I think that's right. I totally echo all those things about critical thinking. We are logical creatures at the end of the day. And I think a lot of misfound or ignorant positions are just coming from a view of not exposing ourselves to the correct or the actual information. And it, we deceive ourselves all the time. It's actually remarkably easy, to deceive ourselves. And so it's important, for us to push the boundaries of what we know, because there's a lot of things, that we don't know. So, totally echo all of that. I would hope that people listening would not just take what we believe as gospel truth. Look this stuff up for yourself. If there's a view that we get wrong, which is going to happen sometime, we're going to straw man somebody.
What?
Call
in.
Look it up. Find out. And I hope that you would grow your knowledge through that. Please do. And let us know. Why not?
Yeah.
Angry Facebook message, Seth.
Oh, please. Please. I haven't gotten one of those in a while. In fact, I don't know if I've ever gotten one. Yeah. Have you?
I don't think so. I don't like to make people angry. Okay. So.
Same. I've got a couple more things I'd like to say, and then we'll kind of finish and conclude. I was talking with my dad last night. He was asking me about this podcast, and we kind of started talking a little bit about kind of the nature of science and religion and how they interact, and I mean, what do you do about that? And the truth is, it comes down to, there's kind of two things that I'd like to say, and you may have to correct me if I'm going too Christian on this.
But, okay.
Not correct me, but just call it out.
All right.
Well, ultimately, you will have to accept someone's authority on this matter. There are authorities. There's religious authority, there's scientific authority, and you will have to accept someone else's say on the matter eventually. That means that you get to go and see what everyone else's say is and how they're saying it, and you get to say to yourself, this person has the most convincing argument. But ultimately, you are going to have to accept someone's authority on the matter. Would you agree with
that? I think that's a fair statement,
And so what I'd like to kind of add on to that, whether you're Christian or not, that comes down to a matter of faith. How much faith do you have in this authority? How much faith do you have in their arguments? I think what I'm trying to say is that please get caught up in the arguments, get caught up in trying to figure out for yourself, but know that, I mean, it comes down to a matter of choosing for yourself and deciding for yourself. And having faith to step out on someone else's authority.
I would push back against that a little bit. I think the faith word scares a lot of people off.
It does.
Usually that's like, I don't have evidence to believe in something, therefore I'll have faith. Mm-hmm. So I think that word has a lot of baggage on it.
No,
so, but I think what you were saying is correct in that we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks when we hit justified beliefs and what does it mean to believe things. But essentially, yes, you have the option to look at the evidence, mm-hmm. and choose something that, or find something that is most convincing through what you believe, through the evidence in front of you. So absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think that's all I've got. I was going to end with a quote, but I don't know if I want to read it anymore.
All right, quotes so, will be in the future.
That's right. Well, and we'll post them somewhere.
Okay.
Know. Ask us about it.
Great.
Hey, thanks for coming along on the first podcast. We're really, I'm really excited about this podcast.
Me too.
I hope you, the listeners, are excited. And again, maybe if you aren't excited, but maybe you know someone who does get excited about this stuff, maybe pass along the word. We'll be posting these real soon. Again, thanks for coming along, and I guess we'll see you next time.
All right, see you then.